be in the book of John this morning. John chapter 15. What do you have to say, amen? John chapter 15, New Testament. If you have your black Bible, it's on page 794. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name once more, Father God. Lord, I ask that you open up your word this morning, Father God, that we might see and understand, Father God, that we might believe, that we might have a better knowledge of who you are and what you've done. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' precious and holy name. John chapter 15. I'm going to go ahead and read John chapter 15, verses 1 through 16. The Word of God reads, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you should abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you shall be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than a man to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant not knoweth what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you go forth, that you should bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This text this morning, I'll be preaching on a simple message, that your fruit should remain. That your fruit should remain. How many of y'all know that God wants you to be fruitful? Who here knows that? How many of y'all know that God wants your works to be bountiful? He wants to make sure that there's plenty of fruit that comes out of you, amen? And God gives us the strength, the power, and the will. We simply need to surrender and allow God to perform through us. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll just wait for a moment or so. We'll be in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 16. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 16. Praise the Lord. Verses 1 through 16, page 794 in the Black Bible.
Huh?
794.
Christ, amen. So Jesus says, I am the true vine, and God is the husband. And the word means a farmer. And since God is the one who plants the vine and manages the harvest, a good farmer will remove rotten foods from the majority of the good food to keep the whole batch from being spoiled. Have you ever had a bag of apples? In that bag of apples, one goes rotten. If you don't take the one that is bad out from the whole bag will be rotten. So in the church and in the body of Christ, sometimes there are just those people that don't produce fruit. They have fruit, but it's not the fruit of God. It might be the fruit of idleness or fruit of iniquity. So God, being a good Lord, a good host, he has to separate some from the body that are not producing. And why is this? The Word of God says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. For every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. God has to do these things in order to allow you to grow. There are some things in your life, some things in my life, some things that may be encompassed around in our body that does not help us grow. We'll learn in this text that we are to produce fruit, more fruit, much fruit. God wants you to be fruitful, but anything that will hinder you from growing in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, expect God to remove it. Amen?
Amen.
He wants you to be fruitful. He doesn't want you to be choked up. How many times do we see a plant and it'll have all sorts of fruit on it? But every so often you see little twigs, little things on the side that grow off of the true vine or off of the trance that do not do anything. They simply suck away and take away life. So if you have a relationship with God, expect him to purge you. Expect him to remove those things which hinder you from growing. In my life, there are many things that he had to remove. There were friends. There were things that I liked to do. There were things that were not conducive to my walk with God. So God constantly is cleansing us so that we can produce more fruit and much fruit and so on and so forth. The Word of God says in verse 3, you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. I don't know if any of you guys have an aim in life, but our AIM, our aim in life is to abide in me, to abide in Christ. And when we learn to abide in Christ, when we learn to conduct ourselves the way that God has called us to, we will find that we are the most fruitful. How many of you, when you're walking with God that are obedient, just find your life blessed? Has there been times in your life when you just serve God with your whole heart? And those were probably the most blessed times of your life, because when you abide in Christ, you're abiding in glory. When you allow yourself to be in the body of Christ and not to be a sucker, not to be a twig, not to be someone that holds on to the body, but is outside of the body. There are many people that will hold on to the church or hold on to Christ, but not really be in Christ. Amen. We have to not only learn that it is our desire and it should be our heart's desire for us to have a relationship with Christ where we can say, he abides in me and I abide in him. We are clean through what Christ has done. We are clean. His word has forgiven us and his word has made us what we are today. But if our relationship is right with God, then fruit is a natural product. Amen. If our relationship with God is correct, then fruit is a natural product. It's not a separate work. Fruit simply proves our relationship to the vine. If the fruit of our lives does not point to Christ, then this is a warning. It is to be a check and a balance. See, the Word of God understands and Jesus knows that there's going to be many people that think they have him. There will be many people that think they have Jesus. But the bottom line is, if your life does not follow, or if your life does not point to a relationship with Christ, what type of relationship do you think you have? Meaning, if I say I'm a Christian, and oh, I love the Lord, and yada, 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 but my fruit is iniquity, do you think that's coming from the true vine? Would you expect to see an orange underneath an apple tree? Would you expect to see an apple underneath a pear tree? No. As Christians, this word is to correct us. If on the fruit, Jesus says this, you will know them by their fruits. And nowadays, there's so many types of Christians that there's so much mixed fruit that it's hard to tell what is of God and what is of not. But as we learn that if our life points to Jesus, if our fruit points to Christ, then we know we have come from the true vine, amen?
Amen.
And we have to know something beyond a shadow of doubt. He says, abide in me and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, and no more can ye. Look to your neighbor and say, I can do nothing without Christ.
I can do nothing without Christ.
But sin.
But sin. Amen.
I can do nothing without Christ.
Nothing without Christ.
But sin.
But sin.
So many Christians will say, well, I can't do this without the Lord, and I can't do this without the Lord. Understand that if we are connected to the true vine, he will not give you the strength to disobey.
That's right.
If you are connected to Christ, if he is your heart and you are his body, he will not give you the unction to sin. He will not give you the desire to walk away. So we have to say to ourselves, if I'm sinning, where is my strength coming from? If I'm not living for God, where am I getting the strength to live this life that I'm living? Jesus said, I am the true vine. There are other vines, amen. There are other sources of strength. There are other places, and your fruit will always point to the tree that you're from.
Amen.
It will always point to the tree you're from. Jesus said that whosoever that sins is a servant of sin. If our fruits are always iniquity, then we cannot attribute that to Christ. This scripture is to let us know that if we do not align ourselves with Christ, then we have no hope of everlasting life. We have to allow ourselves to be clean, allow ourselves to be purified, allow ourselves to be joined to Christ through his word. Otherwise, we can do nothing that God desires. Amen. And I said earlier, God gives us the strength, the power, and the will. We simply need to surrender to allow God to perform through us. We have to know our place. I'm not the head. I'm a servant, just like everybody else. But if we fail to surrender to God, how do we expect the fruit of the gospel and the fruit of the life that God wants us to have to be manifest? Amen. And verse 60 says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and he is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. This is what happens to people that are disobedient, that do not allow themselves to be humbled by God. God will only work with those that are willing to surrender.
Amen.
He will give his word time and time again. He'll give you opportunity after opportunity to follow and to yield and to surrender. But in the end, if you have not given up your life and have allowed God to work in you, he can't do anything but send you to judgment. And that's what happens to these particular branches. He says he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. If you don't add to the body of Christ, you can only take away from the body of Christ. If you don't nourish the body of Christ, then he can only be a curse to the body of Christ. In this church, we have members that are a blessing. We have members that are not necessarily a blessing. But nevertheless, God is long-suffering to see people, all men be saved, all men to be converted. But God's no dummy. He gives us this warning to say that if you do not surrender to me, you will not have any part with me. If you have no part with me, there will be no fruit of me in your life. And what we need to get to heaven, and what we need to have to enter into heaven, is Jesus in our hearts and lives.
Amen.
So we learn that Jesus himself, a branch that is no good or a branch that is fruitless, is what? Cast away. If you're not in Christ, what salvation can you have? None. If we are not in Christ, what salvation can we possibly have? Those that are separated from Christ are lifeless, void of life, because they have no relationship with the life which is in Christ. Do you remember when you were fruitful with Jesus? Think back to when you were first saved, when you had that connection with God. Was there much fruit? Was there much fruit?
Yeah.
Think back to when you were on fire for the Lord. Was there much fruit? Why do you think that was? Because He abode in you, in your mind, in your heart, and therefore your actions pointed to your relationship with Christ. If we have fruit that doesn't match Jesus, you need to examine yourself and say, where is this coming from? We are constantly reminded by what we do. This last week in my life, I saw some fruit that I didn't think was still there. I saw some things that I thought the Lord had dealt with a long time ago. They were still there. Sometimes God will bring us to a place of trial so He can see what's still in us.
Right.
And He'll allow the wind to come and our fruit to be shaken to see if it'll stand the test of time. There was a college student once, and he thought it'd be funny to play a trick on a farmer. And this farmer had boasted that he had made a tree that could produce 6 different flavors of apples off of one tree. He'd have Red Delicious, the green apples, the Granny Smith, all these different apples coming from this one tree. So this college student heard about it, and he went out to the farmer's house, and he started attaching bananas and oranges and peaches and all these other things, this one tree. So when the farmer came out, he's like, whoa, this tree is producing all those different fruit. But when the wind blew and rattled the tree up a little bit, all the fake fruit fell to the ground.
All right.
Sometimes in life, a Christian can manifest fake fruit. Praise the Lord, brother. When inside you're thinking, I can't wait to get out of here. This is a doggone son of a gun. I can't stand this. Christians can produce fake fruit. I'm going to pray for you, brother. I ain't prayed in months. Oh, I love the Lord. Let me go do the devil's work. God will try your fruit to see if it is true. He will try you to see if you're genuine. And just like the farmer that made the tree, as soon as the wind shook, the bad fruit, the fake fruit will fall. You have, as a Christian, examine yourself. I can't save anybody here. I can't save myself. All I can do is examine myself to make sure that I'm aligned with the true vine. The only hope, the only help, the only prayer that I can have is that God loves me enough to hold on to me and not let me go in my times when there is bad fruit. You see, God is long-suffering. There's a parable in the scriptures when Jesus walked by the fig tree speaking of Israel, produced no fruit. It was just, he said, why? He said, pull this fig tree up out of the ground. Why waste the earth of its nutrients? Because it's bearing forth no fruit. But the gardener said, give it one more year. Give it one more year. If it doesn't produce fruit, then we'll take it away. You see, God is long-suffering. But the bottom line is you cannot be in Christ and not produce fruit. It's impossible. And I'll say it a little better. You cannot be in Christ and consistently produce fruits of iniquity.
That's
right. Doesn't happen. Because we have to understand something. Fruit is not for you. The fruit that God does in your life is not for you. It's not for me. It's not for anybody else but the lost. You see, it's the funny thing about fruit. Every type of fruit that is made to man that comes from a tree, when it falls down to the ground and it's a whole fruit, it has seeds in it. God wants us to be fruitful so that people might be able to taste and see that the Lord is good. Random acts of kindness. When people see God in your life, they'll see love, joy, peace, long-suffering. People are hurt, amen. People need God's love. And if you allow yourself to be transformed into a love vessel of God, people can eat from the fruit that God has put in you.
Amen.
And it'll point them back to the source. But if a church, if a believer stops holding on to Jesus, he says, without me you can do nothing. If you turn your back on me, every single thing that I've given you is going to stop. That joyful feeling, that wonderful expression, that I feel so good spirit will stop. We are commanded to remain in the vine. So much happens when we take our faith out of Jesus.
That's
So much happens when we start walking away. We have a remembrance of what it was like to be in the vine. The branches cast down can look up and say, man, I'm withered. I'm old. I'm useless. I used to be okay when I was attached to the vine. Whatever is hindering your walk with God, no matter how big, no matter how small it may be, you have to let it go. You have to let it go. What can hinder your walk with God? Unforgiveness can hinder your walk with God. Malice, hatred, lust, fornication, adultery. These things can hinder your walk with God. God has sent the Holy Spirit to purge. Says, Julius, you don't need this. What you need is this. Adam, you don't need this. What you need is this. What I'm going to do for you, what I'm going to do through you, is going to cause you to produce more fruit. We find that not only does God want us to bring forth fruit, much fruit, more fruit, and as the title of the sermon is, that your fruit may remain. We are not to have memories of what God did for us 30 years back. Not saying that's bad. We're not the only testimony that we have shouldn't be that God touched me back in 1989 when he first saved me, and since then he ain't done nothing in my life. If God ain't done nothing for you in your life since 1989, then you're not attached to the vine, because the vine is always going to produce more fruit. It's going to produce much fruit. It's going to produce fruit that remains, fruit that doesn't wither up, fruit that only doesn't last for a day, but there should be a surplus of testimony. Guess what God did for me today? Guess what God did through to me today? He allowed me to witness, and guess what? That person got saved, and they're producing fruit because they've been attached to the vine. God is tired of old testimony. The vine is alive. The vine is living, and he wants to produce more in you.
Amen.
But if we do not give up our life, if we do not give up what we are holding on to, then how can we expect God to work in us? There's no salvation outside of Christ. Don't be happy with what God did yesterday. Don't be happy with God, what God did for you 10 years ago. Those things are only to be built upon. There shouldn't be an old day harvest, but a present day harvest. What is God doing in your life today? What is he doing in your life right now? What is he taking away from you that you might produce more fruit? If this process ever stops, we become withered and dry. Ever seen just a bitter Christian? Those two words should never happen to be in the same sentence, bitter and Christian. Nevertheless, you have a world full of bitter Christians. People that think they have it all together, think they had a great walk with God, but because they've been attached from the vine, there is no love for the body. And therefore, they are fruitless. All they have is the old testimony, the old story of what God used to do. The vine is alive and well. Without Jesus, we can do nothing. As a church, as a body, as a family, as a father, as a brother, as a sister, you can do nothing. If the fruit has ceased, you better check your relationship with God. There is no salvation, amen, without outside of Christ. Those that are separated from Christ are lifeless.
Amen.
Sometimes I can be discouraged. You know, I don't know what it is. There can be many variables that affect the church. I don't know why sometimes there's people that are happy. I don't know why there's sometimes people are sad. I don't know why there's never any testimony that I don't understand. God knows. But fruit is a testimony. There ought to always be a testimony of what God is doing in your life now. If there's no fruit, I wonder what the relationship is like. It's all natural. For instance, I used to work at Chili's, and I used to eat their food every single day. And as a natural byproduct, there was fruit. I got fatter. I got larger. I got gassier. But when you have a relationship with someone, then fruit is going to be a natural byproduct. I'm not trying to get you all to go home and pray. I'm not trying to get you all to go home and read your Bibles. I'm not trying to get you all to go home and turn on your church music and praise the Lord. No, 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 no. That's just a work you're trying to do. Fake fruit. I want you to go home and pray to God that you're attached to the true vine and that your relationship grows together with Him so that you are fruitful.
Amen.
It's a natural byproduct. The man and wife get together, they're going to have a baby. It's a natural byproduct. If I had a relationship with the gym, the natural byproduct, I should be buff. If you have a relationship with Jesus, the natural byproduct is that you should love.
Amen.
It's nature. Natural. Not something that is fake. If you have a relationship with this book, your life should be like the book. Amen.
Amen.
But this word is to examine ourselves. Is our relationship with the vine as it ought to be? He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. We have this promise that when the relationship is right, we can ask what we will and consider it to be done. As I said, the fruit is not for us. The world needs the fruit that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Verse 9 says, as the Father have loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Jesus has given us commandment to continue in his love, to continue in his pattern of love, to continue to keep his commandments. You see, so many times we think that our theology allows us to live a life any kind of way. Jesus commands us to keep the Lord's commandments because when you are in God's way, it's a better way. I put in my notes here, chastisement ceases when obedience increases. Chastisement ceases when obedience increases. Do you know why Jesus was able to do what he was able to do? Because he loved God, first of all. And because he was obedient. By one man's disobedience, we were all made sinners. But by the obedience of one, so many shall be made righteous. By Christ simply being obedient, he never had to find himself under the judgment of God. Amen? When is your son the most happy? When he doesn't find himself under the judgment of you. When you give a command, don't touch that. He doesn't touch that. He goes along his life's way. But as soon as he transgresses, he gets to learn what judgment is. Amen? I told you not to do it. Now this is what you're going to get. God gives us the same type of relationship. In his book, he tells us how to live. He tells us how to have life. He tells us what he expects of us. If we simply look at the book and make our life around it, to not go past this, and not go where God has commanded, and to simply stay within the parameters which he's given us, we will find that you have life in Christ.
That's right.
But it's only when a Christian thinks that they're so big-headed that they can live any kind of way that they want to live and do what they want to do, that they learn real quick that they have been separated from the vine. As long as you are in Christ, you have life. But the moment you take yourself out of Christ, out of God's plan, you will find yourself in the desert, being wilted up, being without dry and without a source. You'll find yourself in the prodigal son situation. You had everything you needed, but you left it because you thought it was so much better. As a Christian, you have to give up this world. So as long as the world has affection for you, as long as you see something in the world that you want and that you desire, you will run to it. You need to let God abide in your eyes. Let God abide in your ears. Let God abide in your heart and in your hands and in your feet, so that wherever you go, you find yourself under the will of God. Chastisement ceases when obedience increases. when God can look at John and say, John, I'm so glad I ain't got to tell you to stop drinking. Woo! He can go on to something better. Now let me teach you about the Holy Spirit. But until God gets our attention to where he can always have to stop dealing with us, to stop doing what we're not supposed to do, until God can get us to stop doing what we're not supposed to do, he can't show us what he wants to do in us.
Right.
It's the greatest mistake that a Christian makes. God has a plan for you. Look to your neighbor and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
God has a plan for you.
God has a plan for you.
And it's better, than the plan that you have for yourself. This is my commandment, Jesus says, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. God's command is to love, amen. To love one another with the love of Christ. Greater love hath no man than the love that Christ has showed us. And we find that when we find ourselves obedient to God, he gives us a new name. He says, I'm not going to call you a servant anymore. A servant means a slave. That's what that word means in verse 15. He says, henceforth I call you not servants or slaves, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I call you friends. For all things that I've heard of my Father I've made known unto you. Jesus says, I'm not going to call you slaves anymore, but I'm going to call you a friend, an associate, one that is a companion, one that can go along the same way, one that I don't hold anything back from, because we have simple obedience in Christ. Amen. He says in verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it unto you. Amen.
Amen.
We have been chosen by God, and he has ordained us to bring forth fruit, because every piece of fruit that he has in our life has seeds.
Amen.
The world will be saved through Jesus. We are to bring forth fruit. That word means we are to go out, we are to bring forth fruit, we are to labor for Christ, so that the benefit might be of that of other people being saved, and so on and so forth. But until we allow ourselves to be connected to the true vine, our fruit will not be full. Our life will not have the joy, and our fruit will not remain. You may have fruit for a season when you play with God. You might have fruit for a day, but the fruit that remains is the fruit that is continuously, or it's the fruit that remains is from the branch that continually remains to be connected to Christ. So last this morning, how long have you been saved? And has your fruit remained? How long have you been saved? And has your fruit remained? Has your joy remained? That's what Jesus wants. He doesn't want us to be withered up. He doesn't want us to be cast into the fire. He doesn't want you to die in iniquity. He wants your fruit to remain. He wants you to remain attached to him. He wants you to remain connected to the vine. He wants you to be fruitful. Are there any bad apples this morning? I had some bad apples show up in my life last week. Didn't even think they were there. Let God shake you this morning. Take a good look and see if the fruit that is in our life is what God wants. Because if it's not, there's no point. We have to repent and ask God to save us from what we have planned for ourselves. Amen. I ask you all to stand this morning. The new choir back there. Lord, I've done what you wanted me to do. I've gone where you wanted me to go. divine? Are there any here this morning that need to have God's grace work through them? Understand the fruit is just a byproduct of your relationship with God. If you need salvation or prayer this morning, you may come. It's better to abide in Him than to live without Him.
Come on and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What's up, man?